good to be in the house of the Lord, and I hope that you're having a good Sunday. If you're here and you're visiting with us here today, we're so glad that you chose to worship with us. If you happen to miss any of the messages in any of our series, you can always go online on our website at stoneridgecc.com, and you can watch those messages. I'd like to welcome those of you who are watching and listening live right now. It's great to have you with us. Well, yesterday it was like one of those Charlie Brown Lucy moments where I kept telling myself that Iowa is going to win this football game, right? And for a brief second there at the end of the third quarter, I thought, maybe, just maybe Michigan State can win this game. And I got fooled. I got tricked. So it was a long night in the Krawczyk household last night. Everybody was crying and hard to sleep, and it's a long night. I'm glad that you're here today. Next week, Mark Franzen will be here. Looking forward to hearing him teach and preach. I know he'll do a good job. The following week will be a new series entitled The Gifts of Christmas. The Gifts of Christmas take us right into Christmas. Looking forward to starting that series. And today, we're in the book of Haggai, and you might be like, where in the world is that, Ed? It's right at the end of your Old Testament. Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, right before the New Testament starts with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. A small little book, two chapters, so we're just going to talk about Haggai today. What do we know about this guy, Haggai? What do we know about him? These scholars and teachers, we don't know much about him, other than his name means feast. Feast. And I thought this was appropriate since we will be feasting this week. Perhaps we should start with where Israel was at as a nation. In 538 BC, about 40,000 Jews had returned from captivity. A year later, they began to rebuild the temple. They had finished repairing the foundation when opposition arose. And this opposition caused them to take a pause. They stopped working on the temple for the next 17 years, right? It's a long time. They lost their focus, if you will. And so the Lord led Haggai, the prophet Haggai, to challenge the people to complete the temple, right? Get back to doing what the Lord had called them to do. And in response to this challenge, and the Lord leading Haggai to do this, Haggai delivered four short messages. And we're going to look at those messages here in this brief, tiny little book of two chapters, the book of Haggai, right now. So let's jump right in here. Haggai chapter 1, verse 2 says this. This is what the Lord of heaven's armies says. The people are saying, the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. That's almost funny, right? Because a long time had gone by. So what problem do we have here? What's the first problem we have here? First, we have a misplaced priority. A misplaced priority. We saw this young lady in this opening video where her priorities weren't in the right place. She was doing all kinds of things. She was really busy in her life, and she needed to have some quiet time alone with the Lord in His Word. And there's no substitute for that for you and me every day. We need to make the Lord a priority in our life. And so the first problem we have here is a misplaced priority. How else do you explain 17 years going by since they built the foundation? Our natural response is to say, what's wrong with those people? that you and me are those people. The Lord tells us what he wants us to do. We feel in our hearts we know the right thing to do, right? In our job, in our family, right? Where God has placed us, in your school. He tells us what he wants us to do. To witness, right? To talk to people about him. But we put off doing it. Why? Because we're too busy. We're too busy doing our own thing. What's the result of doing our own thing? Let's put it in the words of Haggai. Haggai would say we plant much. We're doing a lot of stuff, right? We're planting a lot. We're doing a lot. But we harvest little, right? We think we're getting ahead because we're doing all these things. We're very involved in the stuff out there today in our world. We're very involved, but we're only hurting ourselves. We have the right foundation, Jesus Christ, right? We have the right foundation, Jesus. However, we have no real interest in building upon that foundation. And it's because of this that what the Lord said to Israel, he says to you and me today. What did he say to them? Let's jump right back into Scripture, right back into our story, verse 3. Then the Lord sent this message through the prophet Haggai. Why are you living in luxurious houses while my house lies in ruins? This is what the Lord of Heaven's armies says. Look at what's happening to you. You have planted much, right? You're doing a lot. You're involved in a lot, but you're harvesting little. You eat, but are not satisfied. You're not really satisfied. You drink, but you're still thirsty. You put on clothes, but you can't keep warm. Your wages disappear as though you are putting them in pockets filled with holes. Let me ask you this. Do you ever feel like money comes in and then goes right back out? Right? Especially this time of year, Thanksgiving and Christmas. Do you ever feel that way? Money comes in and then it just goes right back out? This could be because we're not honoring the Lord with it. In other words, we're not at all concerned about building his house, his kingdom. What are we concerned about building? Our house, our little utopia, our kingdom, if you will. Continuing on in verses 7 and 8. This is what the Lord of Heaven's armies says. Look at what's happening to you. Now go up into the hills, bring down timber, and rebuild my house. Then I will take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. What is it you're hoping for in life? What are you hoping for? A new car, a nice home, a good return on your investment, a rich harvest. The Lord, in essence, says, you can kiss those things goodbye if that's all you care about. If that's your goal in life, I'll make sure to ruin everything you work so hard to get. Listen to what he says in verse 9. You hoped for rich harvest, but they were poor. And when you brought your harvest home, I blew it away. Why? Because my house lies in ruins, says the Lord of Heaven's armies. While all of you are busy building your own fine houses, building your own life, it's because of you that the heavens withhold the dew and the earth produces no crops. I have called for a drought on your fields and hills, a drought to wither the grain and grapes and olive trees and all the other crops That's why things aren't growing and doing well in your life. How did the leaders and the people respond to this message when they heard this? What did they do? Let's continue on. Verse 12. Then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the whole remnant of God's people began to what? Obey the message from the Lord their God. When they heard the words of the prophet Haggai, whom the Lord their God had sent, the people feared the Lord. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave the people this message from the Lord. I am with you, says the Lord. I am with you, says the Lord. What happens when we obey the Lord? When you and me obey the Lord? When we put God first in our lives? When we do what He's telling us and calling us to do? To witness and to serve and to reach out to people? What happens when we obey the Lord? The Lord says to you and me, I am with you. What happens when we know that God is with us? Well, Psalm 18:29 happens. David said, in your strength, I can crush an army. With my God, with God with me, I can scale any wall. I can do it. I don't know who or what is standing in your way right now today. I don't know who or what is standing in your way right now today. But I do know with God on your side, you can crush it. You can overcome whatever it is that you're dealing with today. Whatever it is that you're facing. Whatever it is that is heavy on your heart, He will give you what you need to complete the project and be successful. Let's continue to read on. Verse 14. So the Lord sparked the enthusiasm of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the enthusiasm of Jeshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the enthusiasm of the whole remnant of God's people. They began to work on the house of their God. They began to put the Lord first. This is what this symbolizes, right? When they began to do this, they began to work on the house of their God, the Lord of heaven's armies. What happened as soon as they started to rebuild the temple? As soon as they started to get to work, right, the older people began to compare the temple to the temple in Solomon's day. And you may remember Solomon, the richest man who ever lived. Well, that temple was magnificent. And so the older people began comparing it. Remember that temple, Solomon's temple? How great that looked. This looks like nothing compared to it. And so once again, the people got discouraged. Maybe you're here this morning, you're saying, Ed, I'm a little discouraged right now in my life. That's what happened to them. They got discouraged, and once again, they gave up, and they stopped building. What problem do we have here? First, we had a misplaced priority. Second, we have an incorrect perspective. An incorrect perspective on things. Let's jump right back into Scripture. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Then on October 17th of the same year, the Lord sent another message to the prophet Haggai. Say to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Jeshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of God's people there in the land. Does anyone remember this house, this temple, in its former splendor? And some of the older people were like, yeah, we remember that. We remember Solomon. it must seem like nothing at all. Listen, you need to forget about the past. You need to forget about the past and focus on the present. You can't change the past. You can't change the past as much as you would like to and I would like to. But you can change how you live in the present, how you live today, right now. How should you live in the present? How should you live right now, today? You should live with a belief that God is with you. Why? Because He is with you. Verses 4 and 5. But now the Lord says, be strong, Zerubbabel. Be strong, Jeshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people still in the land. And now get to work. Get after it. For I am what? I'm with you. I'm on your side. I'm fighting for you. I'm going to help you with this wall, this thing in your life that you're trying to overcome and conquer. I'm going to help you with it, says the Lord of Heaven's armies. My Spirit remains among you. Just as I promised you when you came out of Egypt. So do not be afraid. Why were the people afraid? Why were they afraid? What were they afraid of? Well, they were afraid that this temple would not be all that it could be or should be. That's what they were afraid of. That this temple, right, was nothing at all like the previous temple. And they were afraid it would not be all that it could be or should be. You know, I had the same fear when I enrolled in Dallas Theological Seminary. When I went to seminary, I was like, I don't know how I'm ever going to be able to do this. Talk in front of people, sit on a stage, tell them about Jesus. I'm afraid today. Today, I still have the same fear. A fear of failing. Do you have that fear? A fear of failing? A fear of not being all that you could be or should be? I do. I fear not being all that I could be or should be as a pastor, as a husband, as a dad to my 7-year-old daughter. Well, what did the Lord say to encourage them? Let's see what He said to encourage them. Let's jump back in the Scripture, verse 6. This is what the Lord of Heaven's army says. In just a little while, I will again shake the heavens and the earth. I'm going to shake things up, the oceans and the dry land. I will shake all the nations, and the treasures of the nations will be brought to this temple. I will fill this place with glory, says the Lord of Heaven's army. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, says the Lord of Heaven's army. The future glory of this temple will be greater than its past glory. You thought Solomon and the things in the past were great? Let me tell you about the future. Let me tell you what I have for you as a nation. The Lord says the same thing to you today. Let me tell you what great plans I have for you. Let me tell you about your future. The future glory of this temple will be greater than its past glory, says the Lord of Heaven's army. And in this place, I will bring peace. I, the Lord of Heaven's armies, have spoken. What was the Lord talking about here, the future glory? What was He talking about? The millennial temple. Now, for those of you who aren't familiar with the general timeline of things, let's just pause for a moment and talk about that. First, we have the rapture. For those of us who are still living on this earth, taken out, raptured out of here. What comes after the rapture? The seven-year period known as the tribulation. Midway through the seven-year period, the Antichrist will set himself up in God's temple, proclaiming that he himself is God. What happens after the tribulation? The millennium. A thousand-year period in which Christ will be ruling and reigning. What happens after the millennium? A new heaven and a new earth. So we have what? The rapture, the tribulation, the millennium, and then a new heaven and a new earth. So, what was the Lord talking about here? The millennial temple, the future glory. How would this encourage them? How would this encourage them? By rebuilding this temple, they'd be playing a part in fulfilling God's ultimate plan. So what is the Lord saying to you and me today? Let's fast forward this now and bring it to our day and age, to the present. What is God saying to you and to me? The same thing he said to them. Don't be afraid. Be strong today. Why? Because God says, I am with you. I have called you to play a part in fulfilling my ultimate plan. Right? What's his plan? For us to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. God says, I called you to play a part in that plan. Right now you may be saying, well, Ed, I don't know what part he has called me to fulfill. That's because you need to seek the Lord. You need to seek him. God, what is it you've called me to do in fulfilling this plan? How can I make a difference in my neighbor's life, my friend's life, my co-worker, my classmates, my teammates? You don't know. It starts by seeking the Lord, spending time with him. Were the people in Haggai's day seeking the Lord? Were they seeking the Lord? They thought they were. They thought they were. Why did they think this? Because they were doing the Lord's work, rebuilding the temple. Right? However, their obedience was merely external, not internal. Their obedience was external, not internal. The Lord wanted their hearts. He wanted their hearts. What did he have from them? A very superficial and hollow commitment. That's what he had from them. And I'm afraid that's what he has from a lot of us today. The same thing. An external obedience instead of an internal obedience. Instead of having our hearts, he has a very superficial and hollow commitment from us. If we want the Lord to bless us, then we need to get real with him. What problem do we have here? Third, unrealistic expectations. Unrealistic expectations. They expected God to bless them because they showed up. They expected God to bless them because they showed up to rebuild the temple. Let's jump right back into Scripture, verse 10. On December 18th of the second year of King Darius' reign, the Lord sent this message to the prophet Haggai. This is what the Lord of Heaven's army says. Ask the priest this question about the law. If one of you is carrying some meat from a holy sacrifice in his robe, and his robe happens to brush against some bread or stew, wine or olive oil, or any other kind of food, will it also become holy? The priest replied, no. Then Haggai asked, if someone becomes ceremonially unclean by touching a dead person and then touches any of these foods, will the food be defiled? And the priest answered, yes. Then Haggai responded, that is how it is with this people and this nation, says the Lord. Everything they do and everything they offer is defiled by their sin. Everything they do and everything they offer is defiled by their sin. God wasn't going to bless them just because they started to rebuild the temple. Or in our case, He isn't going to bless us just because we go to church. I came today. I showed up. When does He bless us? When does He bless us? When our faith lines up with our actions. When our faith lines up with our actions. The classic passage is in James. You know the passage. James 2, verse 19. James says, you have faith. You have faith, for you believe that there is one God. Good for you. Even the demons believe this, and they tremble in fear. How foolish. Can't you see that faith without good deeds is useless? Don't you remember that our ancestor Abraham was shown to be right with God by his what? By his actions? When he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see, his faith and his actions work together. They work hand in hand together. His actions made his faith complete. And so it happened just as the scripture said. Abraham believed God and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. He was even called the friend of God. So you see, we are shown to be right with God by what we do and not by faith alone. Are we saved by our good works, our good deeds? Are we saved by our good works? No. They're simply evidence of our salvation. What did the Lord want the people to do in Haggai's day? What did He want them to do? Think about what happened to them in the past. Reflect on their past. Verse 15. Look at what was happening to you. Do you see what your life was like before? Before you turned things around? Before you gave me your heart and your life? Do you see what was happening to you? Where you were going? The direction of your life? Before you began to lay the foundation of the Lord's temple, do you see what was happening? When you hoped for a 20 bushel crop, you harvested only 10. When you expected to draw 50 gallons from the wine press, you found only 20. I sent blight and mildew and hail to destroy everything you worked so hard to produce. Everything you thought you were doing. Right? Even so, you refused to return to me, says the Lord. I was trying to get a hold of your attention. Right? Some of that junk that happened in your life, allowed that to happen in the hopes that it would get a hold of your attention. You know, in the past, you went to church and gave your offering. You dropped money in the back in the bucket. But nothing happened. Nothing happened. Why? Because your heart wasn't right before God. Your heart wasn't right. Now that your heart is right, God made them a promise. What was it? Now that they were serious, right? They're like, let's do this. Let's get busy about doing the Lord's work. We're not so wrapped up in our own lives and doing our own thing that we forget about the mission and calling that God has given us. Verse 19. God says, because you're serious, because I got your hearts now, not this superficial, hollow commitment, I'm giving you a promise now, while the seed is still in the barn. You have not yet harvested your grain and your grapevines, fig trees, and pomegranates, and olive trees have not yet produced their crops. Not yet. But from this day onward, I will about the people around them, looking at their strength and their power and who they were as a nation. What did the Lord say about those nations? About to wrap up here, very close. Verse 20. On that same day, December 18th, the Lord sent this second message to Haggai. Tell Zerubbabel, the governor of Judah, that I'm about to shake the heavens and the earth. I will overthrow royal thrones and destroy the power of foreign kingdoms. I'll take care of those people. Don't worry about what everybody else is doing. Don't be afraid of them. I will overturn their chariots and riders. Their horses will fall, and their riders will kill each other. Are you afraid of what so-and-so might do to you? I don't know who that is. Maybe it's an ex. Maybe it's your boss. Are you afraid of what so-and-so might do to you? What did Solomon say about fearing people? Proverbs 29:25. Fearing people is a dangerous trap. But trusting the Lord means safety. Fearing people is a dangerous trap. But trusting the Lord means safety. The Lord will take care of the people you fear. You don't have to worry about them. While at the same time protecting and restoring you. Verse 23. But when this happens, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will honor you, Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, my servant. I will make you like a signet ring on my finger, says the Lord, for I have chosen you. I chose you. God's saying that to you today. I chose you. I, the Lord of heaven's armies, have spoken. What message did this send to the people of Israel as we sum this up here? What message did this send to the people of Israel? God had great plans for them. God had great plans for them. From Zerubbabel's line of descent would come the Messiah. Here's the thing. God has great plans for us, for you and me. God has great plans for us. However, if we want those plans to be fulfilled in our life, we must address these four areas. What are they again? First, a misplaced priority. We need to get our priorities straight, right? Much like the lady in this opening video. So busy, so many things going on in her life that she said, hey, I got to take a step back and I got to prioritize my walk and my relationship with the Lord. I need to spend time in His Word every day so that He is speaking into my life, into my heart, renewing my mind. If we want His plans to be fulfilled in our life, we must address incorrect perspectives. Incorrect perspectives. We need to forget about the past and focus on the present. We can't change the past, but we can change how we live in the present. How should we live in the present? With the belief that God is with us, because He is. He's saying, don't be afraid. Be strong. If we want His plans to be fulfilled in our life, we must address unrealistic expectations. Unrealistic expectations. If we want the Lord to bless us, then we need to get real with Him. Right? Real when it comes to our sin. Confess it and turn from it. Real about our commitment to going to church. Real about building His kingdom and not our kingdom. What's the last thing we need to do? We want His plans to be fulfilled in our life. We must address unnecessary fear. We don't need to be afraid of How do we address these things? By fixing our eyes on Jesus, not on everything else. God has given us a mission. He's given us a calling. He's called you and me to be a part of it. Maybe you're here today and you say, Ed, I need to give him my heart, my life. We're going to give you that opportunity here in a moment to pray and to ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. Maybe you're here and you say, Ed, I've been busy. I've been busy building actually my house or my community.